thank the Lord for the day, for the heat. Not so much enjoying the heat, but appreciating the cool that will come after it. Father, we thank you for loving us and watching over us. Just pray, you, Lord, that you would work in people's hearts and minds in these last of the last days. Bless our time together, Father, please. And please be one of our number. Minister to us, speak to us through the reading of your word, the preaching and teaching, and the singing of the praises, Lord. Or even just the quiet time as we pray. I'm thankful that you loved us and that you extended your free gift of eternal life to us and for the good sense, Lord, to accept it. Please, Lord, look out for our brothers and sisters wherever they are, and please supply them the needs this day. And Lord, even now in these dark days, that I pray for Christians to burn brighter and brighter. People really need you, Lord, and they don't even know it. But I pray that you would open our understanding. Please bless our time here, Father, and we love you and thank you. And we pray all this in the name of your Son, Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen. Let's take our big books. And we will go with, as soon as I open it here, hymn number 34, in the big books, I Know That My Redeemer Liveth.
Another time, Merodach Baladan, the son of Baladan, king of Babylon, sent letters and a present to Hezekiah, for he had heard that he had been sick and was recovered. And Hezekiah was better for them and showed them the house of his precious things, the silver and the gold and the spices and the precious ointment, and all the house of his armour, and all that was found in his treasures. There was nothing in his house, nor in all his dominion. Hezekiah showed them not. Then came Isaiah, the prophet of the king Hezekiah, and said unto him, What said these men, and from whence came they unto thee? And Hezekiah says, They are come from a far country unto me, even from Babylon. Then said he, Have they seen in thine house? And Hezekiah answered, All that is in my house have they seen. There is nothing in all my treasures, have I not showed them? Then says Isaiah to Hezekiah, Hear the word of the Lord of hosts, though the days come that all that is in thy house, and that which thy fathers have laid up in store until this day, shall be carried to Babylon, nothing shall be left, saith the Lord. And of thy sons thou shalt issue from thee, which thou shalt beget, shall they take away, and they shall be eunuchs in the palace of the king of Babylon. Then says Hezekiah to Isaiah, Good is the word of the Lord which thou hast spoken. He says, Moreover, for there shall be peace and truth in my days. Amen. Yeah.
Imagine getting that from God. All your riches that you have shown to the world, the flesh and the devil is going to belong to him, and your children, your boys, are going to be eunuchs in the house of the king of Babylon. Mm-hmm. And although it wasn't King Hezekiah's fault, it was a lot of the kings on the run up to King Hezekiah's fault, and he was just the last man there, but that would be a hard thing to hear, but that's why you keep your eyes on the Lord. Mm-hmm. Do the right thing regardless. Amen. Thank you for that, Will. Just wanted to remind everybody to make sure they got one of the wee pink prayer lists. Please do take one home. Do please pray especially for Will's granny, Christine's mammy, Mary Ann. She made it into hospital, which is, I'm sure, is an event in itself given the past month or so of proceedings. And is, Lord willing, this time tomorrow she should be all done and dusted. Lord willing. So keep praying for Mary Ann. It's a big step actually getting into the big house. Please do pray that everything goes smoothly there. Please do pray for absent brethren, for Ling, for Colin, for Charlotte, for Pat and Steve. We miss everybody when they're not here, but it's good to have you here. So, thank you for that. You know there's a bunch of bad stuff going on in the world. It's written in the Bible. If you're stuck for what is going on, have a look at the book of Matthew chapter 24 and the run-up to it. Read through some of those old prophets, Isaiah and Jeremiah and Zechariah, and see exactly what's going on in the world, and pray. I remember, I don't know whenever you first heard of the rapture and God coming back and taking his Christians off of the world. I remember one guy, Barry Smith, who was a charismatic leader in Australia many, many years ago. And he used to say that whenever the Antichrist stood up, that he was going to go stand up and tell him, "I've been telling people about you for years." That's what he said he was going to do that. But he wasn't quite right on his theology, because we'll not be here when the Antichrist stands up. But he stood up and spoke up in Australia. And one of the things that he said was, "Australia and New Zealand will be used as a template for all that's going to happen in the approach New World Order," and we can see that happening today. Please do pray for Australia and New Zealand, Japan and China, North and South Korea, most especially Israel, Africa in its entirety, Europe, Russia. Pray for America, North and South, and Canada, for Brazil, for our own country. We all most certainly need God's word in our lives. Even if church is shut down, you still need God's word in your life. Jesus said when he was talking to the devil, "You might exist, but you will not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." So there's a lot to pray about. So please do. Pray for each other. There might not be anybody else praying for you, so pray for each other. I can't think of anything else. Is there anything else you need to be thinking about? Okay. Well, I'm picking on you for this particular prayer time in the service. If you're good to lead us again, you just go ahead.
Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for thank you for the safe journey of your heart. You open up, Lord. Bless the service for me every day, except when it's any particular preaching, Lord. And our songs and praises, we rise up to the throne of thy kingdom, Lord, and the heaven, Lord. And thank you for sending yourself to die across for us in the world. Also on my mind is my grandma, Lord. Your flesh goes to the hospital, Lord. Stay your mind on me, Lord. Comfort her, Lord. And may she rest upon thy word, upon me, Lord, and upon thy promises, Lord. And may the operation go straight forward, Lord. And may she heal properly, Lord. And be with us tonight, Lord. And be with her and keep us safe as well, Lord. With our missionaries and our ministers, Christian Victorious, and everybody else, evangelists and pastors, Lord, for the world, Lord. Our stage, Lord, and people who come to the Lord, Lord. We have them strength, them suffer, them everything that they need to fight against the devil, and then lift up this world, Lord, and lift up this world, Lord, and give the message of saving grace, Lord, those that are lost, Lord, and put the missionaries and keep them safe as well, Lord. And put the persecuted church, Lord, from any trouble, Lord, meet their need, Lord. We don't know what step the persecution is, Lord. The only mind, Lord, Lord, and show them that they're not alone, Lord, we have them keep them safe as well, Lord. We are even raising the national of those, district those, and Christians should bless them as well, Lord. Supply their air to need, and keep them well, and keep them above the world's strife, Lord, and for your cause on this earth, Lord, and your kingdom, Lord. Those thank you for Marcus for the Lord, gospel, Lord. We are for keeping safe and well, and Lord, give the word of God, Lord, and give us prayer, Lord, and bless our hearts and hearts and keep us, and bless us. Bless any action, God, Lord, for Pat and Steve, Lord, Steve, Steve, Paul, and John, Lord.
Amen. Thank you all. Let's take our hymn books again. Mrs. Bradfield, would you mind playing number 2 in the little book, the little black book for us? We'll remain seated as we sing a rendition of this blessed old book, hymn number 2 in the wee black books.
Somewhere out there, where the thirsty and dry, Franklin.
What have been called some of the greatest comforts in the Bible, I may have mentioned it when we came across Psalm 1 and 2 not that very long ago, that we Rita Burnett, whenever she couldn't see anymore to read her Bible or couldn't even hold her Bible, just lay in the bed, she knew Psalm 1 and 2. And she just loved to repeat the words of Psalm 1 and 2 as I read them. I should have known them as well, but as I was reading them. And she just loved to repeat along with me those verses of Psalms, and of course Psalm 8 and Psalm 23 and whatnot as well. She just loved to listen to the Psalms, and I know a lot of people do, because as David and a few others put the Psalms down, some of them were written in very dark times for them. Some of them were written when David was being pursued by Saul. Some of them were written whenever the Lord was chastening David for pursuing Bathsheba and for murdering her husband. And some of them were written whenever he was having to deal with a lot of the political intrigue that was going on in the palace. And some of them were written whenever he was at the top of his game and he was thanking the Lord for all the great victories that he was getting. But for by all that, a lot of people think that the Psalms applied to a long time ago, that they're old, and it's only old people, people with a few grey hairs, well, that accounts for all of us today. People with a few grey hairs are the only ones that will ever get help out of them. And as I was reading, it's very strange, as you read back over old verses, favourite verses and chapters in the Bible, in the light of where we are in the history of man right now, it is amazing how much closer to home so many of those chapters and verses in the Bible hit. As I was reading these, I thought, you know what, I've spoken about them so many times, they're excellent verses. You ought to have a wee read at them this evening and just have a few thoughts on what this portion of God's Word brings to us. Whether it was 3,000 years ago when David walked the earth, whether it was 2,000 years ago when Jesus walked the earth, and whether it's now when we walk the earth, the Word of God's the same yesterday, today and forever. And it still comforts and it still strengthens and it still applies. Let's have a wee read. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he should be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. The Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Why do the heathen rage, and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves, and rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder, and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh, and the Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath, and vex them in his sore displeasure. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord hath said unto me, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I will give the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. I shall break them with a rod of iron. I shall dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings, and be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear, and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and ye perish from the way when his wrath is kindled but love. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. Amen. I have no title for the evening. It's just Psalm 1 and Psalm 2. And a contemporary look at it. Let's have another wee prayer, and then we'll have a blow by. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, again. I pray especially this evening, Lord, for Mary Ann. I think also on Stan and Karen and the folks in Bangor. Remember too, Lord, Ed and Joan Bissett and the folks in Campbell Patrick. For Johnny Campbell out there in New Buildings, and for the minister up in the Free Church, whose name always escapes me. Lord, for the Foxes, for the Smiths, for the Snows, for the Isaacsons, for those that have slipped and slid, Lord, for those that have compromised along the way in the pursuit of riches, I pray you, Lord, your good hand upon them. For Christy and Taylor, for the Lemonians, for the Robinsons, for the Borlands, for the Edgars, Lord, for the Bonners. Please, I pray you, Lord, don't be done with them. Take them even where they are, Lord, and convict, and possess, and direct, withstand them at every turn that they turn to mischief, and bless them in every turn as they turn to follow you. Do indeed thank you, Lord, that you're keeping us going. I thank you, Lord, for life and health and strength, for every breeze of air, and for the church all finished, Lord. I just thank you for loving us and watching over us. And I pray you, Lord, please, that you be one of our number this night. We love you and thank you. Lord, we just pray for all these things. And you know all the bits that we haven't prayed for, Lord. We know the Holy Spirit is crying out for them with words that can't be uttered. And we pray you, Lord, that you would fulfill our needs this evening. Pray you for peace and assurance. And I pray you, Lord, especially for your good hand upon Mary Ann and all the folks up on Alvin Gelton that will be tempted to her and to others. And Father, that you would be high and lifted up in our life and ours too. We love you and praise you. And walk before us and give us a good sense to walk in your footsteps, Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. As I was starting out on this portion of Psalms, I was immediately reminded of the Beatitudes in Matthew chapter 5. And if you were to read them, not as a saved man, but just as someone that was trying to work their way to heaven, you would be thinking, well, what do the Beatitudes say? Let's have a quick look. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. And blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. And blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you, persecute you, and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. That does not mean, like the Jehovah's Witness belief, that if you give them grief, that they feel more blessed. That's not what it means. When it says blessed is the man that doesn't do this, doesn't do this, and doesn't do this, it doesn't mean that if you don't do those things you're blessed. That's not what it means. To the Christian, in the Beatitudes, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. How is that? The only way you can be blessed if you're mourning for the loss of a loved one, if you're going to see them again. And for every loved one that goes into eternity as a believer, you will see them again. So it's just parting now for a little time. Whenever you're persecuted for righteousness' sake, and people point the finger at you, and opportunities and friends desert you because you stand for Christ, that doesn't make you blessed. You're blessed in that you can do it because you've got your eyes on greater things and all the things the world has to offer. So when Psalm says, blessed is the man, or indeed the woman, it's talking about people in general, but don't follow popular opinion. And let's be honest, popular opinion is now an ungodly thing to be listening to. Popular opinion is shack up with people before you get married. Popular opinion is it's okay to smoke and drink a little. Popular opinion is okay to take the Lord's name in vain. Popular opinion, it's okay to defraud people, even ministers. I have had multiple people telling me to set up in business just for the just for the sheer cause they claim benefits off the government. That's it. Not to actually do any business, but to claim benefits. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the country, that doesn't need the world's counsel, that will listen to God's counsel. Blessed is the man that doesn't stand in the way of sinners, that doesn't behave like them, that doesn't have their standards, doesn't think nothing of skying off of church and wandering away on a church night. I know of a minister that would go and play golf on a Sunday. I remember a minister that was supposed to be taking a funeral on a Sunday afternoon, and he had visitors in, and he had to tend to his visitors. And everybody was waiting for the funeral to take place, had to wait nearly an hour. I was literally on the brink of saying, look, I'll take the funeral for you. Because I knew the person that had passed away. Whenever they say dress like us, have you seen the people out today dressed? Or should I say undressed? We were driving along the Strand Road. There was a wee girl out in skin-coloured underwear. I had to do a double take. I thought she was naked. She was wearing like a sports top and a figure-hugging bottoms, almost, and it looked like she was naked. And this is standard dress. When people look at that person, they go, oh, I can tell by looking at her, she has a wonderful education. That is a godly woman that does good deeds for people. No, they don't. You know full well what the world's thinking about when they look at someone dressed in their underwear. Look anywhere, and we girls are dressed in hardly anything. And young fellas, they're as pasty white as that door, going out to get themselves sunstroke and skin cancer down the line on two of the hottest days in the year. They're the fruit loops. Blessed is the man that stands not in the way of sinners, that doesn't say, hey, hold on a second, we're not for abortion. We do not agree with your popular opinion that it's okay to kill your children. We don't agree with homosexual marriage. We don't agree with those things. And you know what? I can afford to say that because I honestly don't care what your opinion is. I care what God's opinion is. Because in the end of it all, it's like people, and sometimes, I don't know if you remember me before I got married, but there's times when I could actually be haunting you around many times. I remember one of the children used to say, how come it is that Uncle Mark always turns up at meal times to visit? Because I would be visiting from morning to night. I might only be home for breakfast. And visit one person, visit another, get a cup of tea. Oh, you're here for lunch. Will you take a sandwich? Certainly. Never cost me a thought. But now, I have a wife to go home to. And if somebody says, will you stay? I said, get me close to lunchtime. I like to have my lunch with my wife and tea with my wife. And it's as simple as this. It's her I have to face when I go home, not you. Hey, in the endless ages of eternity, it's not you I have to face. It's God I have to go home to. It's God I would like to keep happy. And you know full well that all of those people, the things that you have to do to fit in with the crowd in this world, Christian, you would have to throw everything away except your salvation to fit in with the world today. Because people do not like Jesus. And I can't figure out why, because all he wants is people to have long lives and safe lives. He wants their minds in one piece. He wants their finances in one piece. Their families in one piece. He wants their friends in one piece. He wants everybody to get a fair shake. And little children to be conceived in love to actually survive to the point of their birth. And many years after. But whenever you hang about with people that make fun of Christians, I can guarantee you every single thing that you ever stood for that sets you apart from the world, that God can use to reach lost souls, that'll all be gone. And you don't need to do that. Because God is something much better for you. God is things like science and fact, not feelings and popular opinion. Verse 2 just gives us the answer. It's far better for you and me those that are blessed, to apply God's law to every part of our life. To apply God's word. It'll not make you more saved, but it'll sure make your life a lot better in this world. The last thing you need whenever you come home is to be faced with immorality and profanity and violence and idolatry and all sorts of filth and ungodliness in your home, isn't it? In your life. It says, the blessed man, his delight should be in the law of the Lord, and he meditate on it day and night. Apply it to all the parts of your life. Just let God in. And you'll find that if there's a bit of your life that you haven't let God into, maybe you're afraid to, you don't even have to let him into it. Talk to him about it. And you're saying your prayers just like God, you know. Under the stairs part of my life, you know, the bit that everybody throws stuff into and never checks it. I ended up with a free drill out of doing that one time. Found out it belonged to somebody else in the church right now sometime later, but I ended up with a free drill because somebody just threw it under the stairs and forgot that he had borrowed it from somebody until he was moving out of the house. You know the under the stairs that we have in our hearts, the wee places that we hope and pray that God never casts his eye upon them. But God knows what's going on there. We need to apply God to all the parts of our lives. And it'll quite literally, if you look out there, you can see the road, it's cracked, and there's earth on it, and there's dead grass on it, but that's because I spread it with weed killer. But the stuff up the middle will die in this weather. Because of why? No moisture. And those parts of our lives will be dead. We don't let God in and let those streams of living water clean and irrigate those parts of our lives so that they are better. And I know there's a lot of times we think those parts of our lives, if I quit doing that, it'll be like cutting my right arm off. God says you're far better going to heaven minus your arm than going to hell though. You really are. Get to heaven. Remember what happened to Jesus when he went to heaven? Remember what happened before he went to heaven? Huge big nails stuck in his arms and his hands. Big nails stuck in his foot. And we're not talking about one of the 4-inch decking screws. I think we're talking like an 8 or 10-inch like railroad spike. He had a crown of thorns put upon his, jammed down in his head. He was bleeding from there. He had his beard plucked off after they whipped him with reeds and raised welts. They plucked off his beard. And not only that, but they whipped him with, and scourged him with a cat of nine tails. And that's not a whip. That's a throw and a drag. Wee bits of bone and glass and steel worked into leather straps and dragged down his back. And many's a man died from that. Jesus was beaten to a bloody pulp for you and me. The Bible actually records that he was unrecognizable. His visage was more marred than any man. And he still survived, and he still carried the cross until he stumbled and Simon the Cyrenian was compelled to carry it to Golgotha. What happened when he came back? When the two men on the road to Emmaus met Jesus, they didn't recognize him. They didn't see a beaten and battered man who claimed to be the Son of God. They saw the glorified Son of God. They didn't recognize him. When he met with Peter, when he met with Mary, when he met with the disciples in the upper room, he was healed except for the marks of the cross in his hands and in his feet and in his side. He's the one that we need to be thinking of. He has done so much for us. And there's going to come a day whenever we meet him face to face, and no matter what the world, our own stupidity, and the devil does to these bodies, when we stand before him, we'll be like him. Glorified, whole, complete, with no sin nature. You reckon, if a man loved you enough to die for you and do his very best for you, I reckon if he had a few suggestions for something in your life, I reckon it would be a good idea to listen to him, and we should. The Word of God goes on to say, you'll prosper. That doesn't necessarily mean you'll be filthy rich and you'll have a car for each day of the week and more rooms than you can shake a stick at in your house. I'm going to tell you something. The most important thing in this world right now is not the size of your bank balance. It's whether you're walking with God or not. How many people around in the world, even in this country, 2.5 years ago, thought life was great. Everything was hunky-dory. And in the snap of a finger, it was all gone. Family gone, wealth gone, job gone, business gone, friends gone. How many people? They even tried to do the dirty in the churches and shut the churches down. They stopped people from seeing their own families. The people that are supposed to be closest to you in this life. God says, when you do things my way, you'll prosper. Yes, maybe you will prosper at business. You will prosper as a person, as a living, breathing soul, as a saved soul. You will learn about me and grow strong, be bold, be knowledgeable, be wise. And there are so many stupid people in the halls of power today, really, honestly and truthfully, could do with nothing better than being put head first through that wall and maybe it would knock some sense into them. If you show me a man that is well acquainted with the King James Bible, and I will show you someone that has their head screwed on, that loves their family, that's raising their children right, that's sticking with the rules that have always worked in all the ages of man. You'd be like a tree planted by streams of water. The Bible says, your leaf will never wither, and whatsoever you do it shall prosper. That gives the other side of the flip side of the coin. It says, you see the guys that aren't saved, the guys that are the ungodly, the sinners and the scorners, the ones that poke fun at Christians and God. Have you ever noticed that when these people pass away, we're glad they're gone? We're just glad they're gone. We don't want to countenance any memory of their shenanigans, of their wickedness, of their devilment, of the bother, of the heartache. We're glad they're gone. What's the old saying? Absence makes the heart grow fond. We like to think of the good times, of the good times. And Christians tend to have that in spades. Good times. Do you remember? Remember that bloke? The guy that put the church up. What are we saying now? I hope you're not planning to leave the side engine. You know what I mean? Remember that fool that went up and told us the gospel up in the car park? Do you remember that, the things that we spoke about? Do you remember that wee woman that was always baking and dropping scones in the back of people's cars or in their freezers? Well, that fellow that was always down at McDonald's trying to stop wars when the pastor opened his big mouth about the pagans that lived in Kilfenan. Remember that? Well, that wee woman that always said to her husband, now, hubby, calm down. Don't let them annoy you. I want everyone to think as well of you as I do. You don't remember that guy who just wanted to wring people's necks and tear their stupid heads off their thick shoulders and kick them down the street? Remember that pastor? It's a good job he never did that. People don't like to remember bad things. The shocking things, yes, they do, and you would hope that they do. The Bible says people, wicked people, nobody likes to think on Hitler. Hitler's a byword for evil. Stalin, all those guys, bywords for evil. And nobody thinks fondly of them. That's what the Word of God says. Nobody wants to remember them. Can't hardly forget them, but nobody wants to remember. In the end of ages of eternity, verse number 6 tells us, God will never forget anything that you did for him. He will never forget of all the things that lost souls do. All the great works. Remember, what was it? I think the Lord was giving the parable of the sheep and the goats. And he was talking about, but Lord, we cast out demons and we did many wonderful works in your name. And God was saying, I never knew you. You weren't saved. You were doing all those things to buy your way into heaven. I never knew you. It pays to be a Christian. And not just for other people, but for you as well. Young people don't quite get it. But as you get older and you realize the things that are really important in this life, It's a clean conscience and a good walk with God that counts. Because he's the one you're going to be spending eternity with. And we will be, it makes common sense to make sure you're in the right fucking with him. I can never read Psalm 1 without reading Psalm 2. They're so short. I think if Will was reading the book of Psalms, we would read the first two together, wouldn't you, Will? At least 16 or 17 verses in them. But this is literally a commentary on today. This is a commentary on people, and it's a commentary on the common man, and it's a commentary on those that we have elected to govern us. And the general consensus is, the psalmist is saying, nearly 3,000 years ago, why are people so stupid? Why do they shake their hands at God? Why do they make up these stories in their heads so that they can live whatever way they like? Have you ever seen people carrying out their wee statues and they'll put the wee statue in the window and then whenever they want to be holy and light a candle and say a prayer, whenever it comes to Friday night and drinking, the statue goes into a cupboard. So that the statue of the God can't see them up to their shenanigans. Not my God, it certainly is a vain belief, and not a God that I would ever trust to save me. My God is great, knows everything, sees everything, understands everything, and can do anything. And he's saying, why are people stupid? Why do they think that drowning themselves in beer is going to solve their problems? If you really want to forget your problems, confess your sins to God, leave them at the foot of the cross, and let the Holy Spirit into your life. That is real. It's not forgetfulness, that's dealing with and taking the pain away. It couldn't be more like what's in the news right now, when the kings and the leaders of the earth are just saying, I reckon if we got all our heads together, we could confound the teachings of God. That's what they say, doesn't it say it? They take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break his bands asunder. Let's just do things our way. You know what? They might as well be reading from Isaiah 14, the thoughts of the devil, which culminated in the devil's declaration that I will be like the Most High. They literally have rejected the gospel of Christ, have adopted and incorporated and assumed the gospel of the devil. It's in Isaiah 14. You know what? I'm going to read it. I'm not going to half do it. It will not take more than a moment to find it. And call the five eye wills of the devil. And it's in Isaiah 13 and 14. It says in 12, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken nations? This is coming for the devil. For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I'll get there my own way. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I'll be the greatest. I will sit also on the mount of the congregation. I'm not sure what that applies to. I'll find out soon. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Those are the thoughts of the devil, written by the only person who can know them, God, and passed on to Isaiah. Write those down. People need to know what's going through the hearts and minds of folks that have rejected Christ as their Savior. And that's what they're saying. Whenever people try and shut the teachings of God off of themselves, what teachings do they take on? It can only be their own. Their own aggrandizement. Their own freedom, their own peace, their own rules. Let me tell you, if I was to enact my rules in this town, there'd be a lot of people who wouldn't be very happy with me. Especially the dead ones. They wouldn't be. If it was Mark Bradfield's way or the highway, there'd be a lot of dead bodies in my way. I'm sure someone would probably deserve it, and someone would just be ones that would cut me up in traffic. People don't want our rules. People need God's rules, because otherwise that happens. Remember years ago there was a There was a lorry driver who was a karate guy. You probably remember this. It was in the news maybe about 25 years ago. And I think he cut up a guy in the car. Just going down toward, down past Caw, and that wee bit of dual carriageway down to the Caw roundabout. The car pulled in front of the lorry and stopped them, and the guy got out. Heavy set guy, red face, won't shoot match. The guy got out thinking, I can do karate. Guy lifted a bottle and stuck it in his neck and nearly killed him. That's what happens when you follow your own rules. When everybody does that which is right in his own eyes. God says the rules are there for a reason. It's to keep everybody respectful of each other and mindful that there is a judge watching over them. God Almighty. We have seen things that are going on in this world. We have seen the poor showing of the Brexit, the treatment of many people that said, we don't want Europe. There was literally a movement to demonise everybody that didn't want anything to do with Europe anymore. And people didn't back away from expressing their hatred of those that wanted an independent Britain. Whenever President Trump came, put his hat in the ring for the President of the USA, people felt very, very free to lie and cheat and steal and make up all manner of stories about a man they couldn't control. Nobody could put a finger on him. And I say this most respectfully, he was richer than God and nobody could leverage him. He was untouchable. And they tried, and I mean that respectfully, I'm not building Donald Trump up to be, but he was that rich nobody could put a finger on him, and it cost him millions to be president for those 4 years. And he found out just how bad our rulers actually are. And we have found out in the last year and a half, 2 years, just how bad our rulers actually are. And you know what the funny thing about it is? They think that God is away with it. And 15 or 20 years from now, they might still be thinking that God is away from it. 30 or 40 years from now, when Bojo is grey instead of white, or just more white than what he is, whenever all of those liars and thieves and murderers are sitting on the brink of eternity, they're going to hear a still small voice. And do you know what it'll be? It'll be verse number 4. Do you see that? He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh, and the Lord shall have them in derision. Because I know in this world there is a great desire to have justice. There is. When people hurt us, we want to hurt them back. We really do. But there is an afterwards. There is a proper judgment for people's actions, for their choices. And we know what it is because we spoke about it this morning. It's either trusting in Christ as your Saviour or it's trying something else. It's funny how even those folks that don't want to trust Him still want to go to His heaven. You brought them into church that have a fit. And yet they want to go to heaven where it's going to be like church times 100 every single day. Verse number 5 tells us His judgment is coming. Judgment is coming. He's going to speak unto them in His wrath. I don't know if that is, I know it's talking about eternity, when the Lord shows His anger for the rejection of the great, precious, and costly work that His Son carried out on the cross for us. God, the Lord will be angry with those people. In the last verse of John chapter 23, it says about those that reject God, His wrath abideth with them. It says in Revelation 6 through 16 that it's the judgments, the seal judgments, bowl judgments, and trumpet judgments. It doesn't say they're the party calls. It doesn't say it's the spankings of God. It says it's the judgments of God. God is not happy. And He will speak unto them in His wrath. You might think, oh, I can survive that. I can survive somebody shouting at me.
need to remember one thing about God's word. In the beginning, God said, and there was. Let there be light, and there was light before there was the sun. Let the waters be gathered unto one place, and let the dry land appear. And it did, and he said, let there be. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. He says, I need a couple of trillion tons of earth spinning in space. And it happened, covered in water. And God said, let the seas bring forth life, and the air brought forth life, and the ground brought forth life, and the sun, the moon, and the stars just appeared because God commanded them. In the book of Revelation, it talks about all the armies of the Antichrist coming up the Megiddo Valley, and God making war on them with the sword that proceeded out of his mouth, and they all died. The Word of God actually talks about the blood from all of those corpses being kicked up to the horses' bridles. That's in the book of Revelation. But God speaks to him as wrath. That's a death sentence. That's for lost people. Certainly don't put yourself anywhere near the chastening of God. God is going to have the last laugh. But here we have the psalmist. For all of the gulpins and nitwits and fools that reject God, that scheme and plan against his people and God's will in this world, you know what David did? I have set my king upon my holy hill in Zion. I am going to make God my king. And much in the same way it says in 2 Samuel, I think it's 20 or 22, that the Lord will set my feet like hinds' feet upon high places. He set God on his holy hill of Zion in his heart. And that's what we should aim to do. I don't know about you, but I love whenever I'm driving home to see the wee cards up in the lampposts, Jesus saves. I love to see that. And I love to see the wee verses of scripture, and you see them round about halfway between Portadown and here, just outside of Cookstown and sometimes along those roads. I love to see that. I'd far rather see that than billboards with naked bodies or drinking or smoking or stuff like that on them, or some utter nonsense that's doing nothing but the stuff. In fact, has anybody seen the ad? Does anybody know what Centra is? It's a grocery. What do the ads down to the railway station say? Centra is what you do. What? It's all about huggy, feely, woke, drivel, this, that, and the other. It's nothing to do with a bag of spuds or a pound of meat. And this is what they want people to think of and shut. I can do without that. I want peace. And if I can't have it out in the world, I can at least have it in my heart with my Saviour doing what he wants me to do. And when you go in at night and say, Lord, I'm going to hop in the shower to get the grind of the earth, of the day off me. And you know what, Lord? I'm going to have a spiritual shower to get the filth and the mire off of my soul. That is why we need to be doing what God asks us to do. We should make a point of obeying God. If you're saved at all, you are going to be living with him forever. You might as well get a head start in living with him right now. Now the next three or four verses in Psalm 2 are talking about Jesus. It's not talking about Jesus, the Lamb of God. It's talking about Jesus, the Lion of Judah. He's not coming back to be stricken again. If you cast your mind back in the days of Moses, the Lord used the rock that followed the children of Israel to water them. And the Lord said to Moses, when they complained about being out of water one day, strike the rock, speak to the rock, strike it, and water will come out of it. And he did. He struck the rock, and water did come out of it and fed tens or hundreds of thousands of the children of Israel and their flocks. And sometime later, the Lord said to Moses, when they were complaining about having no water, speak to the rock, and water will come out of it. children of Israel were doing Moses' head in, and they did his head in so many times. He lost the plot and he struck the rock again. And the water came out. But because Moses broke God's law, broke God's command to him, he said, look, because you did that, I was going to use that as a great example of the rock, Jesus Christ, my son, who came to be stricken first, but afterwards would be spoken to. I begged and pleaded with for the saving of souls. Not coming back. He's coming back to rule the world with a rod of iron. God said to Moses, you'll see the promised land, but you will not enter into it because you disobeyed me. Can you imagine what it'll be like when Jesus comes back to rule the world? All the Christians are going to think, those that have trusted in God during the tribulation, great tribulation, are going to think, this is wonderful. No more pubs. Whorehouses are closed. The drug dens are shut down. Those people that murdered people are being put to death. Children are protected. The elderly get a fair shake. Goodness, it's like the Garden of Eden. The lion is lying down with the lamb, and the bear is eating grass and with the ox. And it's great. It's like the Garden of Eden. And Israel, Jesus is in Israel, the Messiah is in Israel. And look, there's glorified people all over the place. They're rebuilding the world. They're indestructible. I even recognized a few of them. People that I had spoken to that tried to plead with me to get saved instead of having to live through the 7 years of tribulation and great tribulation. And you know what? I didn't get saved before Jesus came back, but I got saved after the rapture. And I am glad I kept on and kept on. I think it's great. You don't have to worry about the shops being open and like another inch of grace being stolen from our society. Another opportunity for the, what about those poor people and legals having a day off to worship and praise the Lord? It's all going to be right when Jesus comes back, and the Christians will be dancing and jigging, they'll be as happy as Larry. But you see all the lost folks, they are literally going to think they're in hell. The Sabbath day will be, everything will be closed down. The books of the law will be the law of the world. People are going to die because they abjectly refuse to obey God. I want to work on the Sabbath. What about God says no and your life is forfeit if you don't do what you're told? Somebody's going to dig their heels in. And God's going to pull them up and say, you were told. Remember Nehemiah? Whenever the people kept coming into the city as he was rebuilding Jerusalem, they kept coming in on the Sabbath day and tempting the children of Israel to go and to buy and sell in the market. And Nehemiah said, the doors will be shut and not opening on the Sabbath. And they came to the gate, still on the Sabbath. And Nehemiah leaned over and said, if I see you back here again, you're all dead. Just you think of the people that have killed people and escaped judgment on technicality. There won't be any technicalities when you're dealing with God. You think on the rapists and the murderers who are walking the streets today when they should have been castrated or put to death for what they did. There will not be any early release for good behavior. Judgment will be swift, it will be sure, and it will be honest, and everyone will know that because it will be from God Almighty himself, and the fear of God will go back and forth the whole length and breadth of the earth, and the world will have peace. More than half of the world's population is going to be grinding their teeth at it, but there will be peace, and God's people will love it. So in the last few verses, it says, knowing this, and bear in mind as we read the book of Psalms, we have literally only half of the word of God. There's not even the, as we get to the book of Psalms, we haven't even come to the bits in Zechariah and Jeremiah, where the Lord spoke to those prophets and said, You keep your eyes out for when Israel gets completely reconstituted from nothing. Keep your eyes out for that. Keep your eyes out for all the people around about them having the knives out for them. Keep your eyes out for when Israel's like a cup of trembling. It's going to annoy people everywhere. And keep your eyes out for all those that want to stick their oar in where it's not required. Israel will come down on them hard. That's just exactly what happened when Israel was reconstituted from nothing. Everybody came from all around the world, all of the Jews. And they remade Israel. And they've been hated ever since. Just like the Bible said. We wouldn't have had that those years ago. If we hadn't. Time Psalms was written. So God spoke to these men in faith and said, why don't you wise up? If you were to check the history of Israel, the men following God, what happened? They were unstoppable. Any warrior king would have been well within his rights to say, hold on a wee second. When those Jews worship God, nobody can stop them. I'm going to start worshipping God and turn the whole country into Christians. And then I'll be unstoppable too. That's what a smart person would have done, isn't it? My family would love me. I'd have a love for my people. The whole country would be in much better shape. God says, why don't you learn the lesson? Serve the Lord with fear and trembling. You know what that means? Do what God says. Even if it's going to put you in a bit of a spot, make sure you're more afraid of what God would say and do than what man would say and do. You know what Jesus said? Man can destroy the body. Don't be afraid of man. He can only destroy the body. But be afraid of him who can destroy the body and soul in hell fire. That's who you really need to be afraid of. Serve the Lord with fear and trembling. Do what God says. Even if it hurts, do what God says. And for those of us that have misbehaved, and we all have, for those of us that are continuing to misbehave, and sometimes you do, when God says, you ever see the teacher doing that? Norman's laughing like the teacher used to do that a lot to him. The disobedient child at the back, I'm not specifically pointing at Will. Come on, you up here. They only had to do that, and I'm sure maybe 3 or 4 guilty kids would come up from the back. They knew that whenever they were coming up, they had been caught doing something wrong. What was going to happen? They were going to get the ruler, or they were going to get the cane. We've all been there. Has anybody here been the best Christian that can be their whole life? Has anybody here ever got a quick ear from God, or a sit down and a good chat? This is the way you really need to be. You know what God said? If that ever comes up, get close to Jesus. Don't try and escape. You're chasing it. Don't try and run away from God. He is trying to teach you a lesson. He loves you to bits. And he wants you to get over this hump that will kill you if you don't get it right. Kiss the Son, lest you be angry, and you perish from the way when his wrath is kindled by the Lord. Or, if you want to put it simply, you don't actually have one here. But if I had the old switch, if I had gone out to the hedge and got a 2-foot switch, it'd be about that long. If I do that, I can just about hear my hand. Have you ever whisked a thin stick? You ever hear it cutting through the air? Because my hand maybe moves at 25 or 30 miles an hour. But the end of that switch moves at maybe 50 miles an hour. And if you're trying to run away from someone that has a switch and they're only catching you with the end of the switch, you're getting a hit at 50 miles an hour instead of 25 miles an hour. It is so much easier to take your oil up close than it is to try and escape it, especially, and let's be honest, if we know we have done something wrong. Stay right with God. If it means admitting that you're wrong, admit that you're wrong. If it means a wee bit of getting on your best behavior, get on your best behavior. If it means losing out on stuff that you profited on when you shouldn't have been, well then take your oil. Jesus will never ask you to do anything that's bad for you, or indeed anybody else. And he will always see you through. And that's just the first two bits of sand. So many promises in there. So many helps in there and reminders in there. But when you have God, and what does it say in Romans 8:31? If God be for me, who could be against me? Just wanted to share that with you this evening. Thank you for your good time. God bless you. I appreciate your attention. We'll sing a song, and then we'll be done. Thank you. Let me see if I have one marked off. I have a couple marked off. Let's see where they are. Did someone pick four? Or was that another day? Another day. Number 132.
We were talking about it, but we didn't choose that.
I will do number 132. We'll do that. Is this the eight verses, this one?
Mm-hmm.
Let's stand as we sing.
No, never alone.
together prayer requests and each other as the week goes on. And we'll be really dismissed for a wee word of prayer. You would, Paul? Please say it.
Thank you. Father, thank you for the message, Lord. Thank you for the word you shall remark, deliver from the word of God. Properly provide the word of God. Lord, use it in our hearts, place in our minds, in our souls, Lord. And direct us and bring us closer walk by both us in the church and those great listeners listening on the CD, Lord, as well. That's not what's going to be get a blessing as well, Lord. Where was we starting the week? Be at the forefront of our week, Lord. And guide us and protect us as we start the week. Put my guard, put the hospital, put the time for the Lord. Give any fear away from her. And Lord, help give the surgeon and the doctors and the nurses assistance, Lord, and help them in the operation as well, so it's successful. Listen to this night, Lord. Guide us to our hope and safety, Lord. We're going to just bless our family.